sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning. Welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And I am here with a distinguished guest this morning.
Is there somebody else coming?
I know, right? Larry Stein, our Oklahoma County Assessor. And do you know, Larry, we're going to have two more county assessors here next week. You want to
awesome.
Take a guess?
Yes.
Okay.
I think I can guess who they are.
Okay.
That would be Matt Waymuller from Canadian County, and then maybe Doug War from Cleveland County.
That's exactly who it is.
Great guys.
And they know their business.
They do.
Which I love it because, I mean, this is an elected position,
sure
right?
Is. Yeah, it is.
But either they're fast learners. I know how you learned your business because you worked there for umpteen years
right.
before you ran for office.
And if you don't have any of that background, it can be very difficult to grasp the difference between what usually happens in real estate and what happens in the business of ad valorem assessment of value. It's a different world. And what we do is so much different than the real estate community, because the real estate community is always looking at right now. What's the price right now? What's the value right now? And we're always looking backwards. So we don't ever, ever overinflate the values. So we always balance our budget and we don't have to worry about any problems popping up.
You know, I know that there is a limit on how much a percentage of taxes to be collected, right?
Well,
is it assessed value?
It's assessed value. And that's the big difference. Everybody thinks, well, my taxes aren't going to go up if I have this senior freeze, which currently is based on the median family of four income. If you qualify at 65 years of age and older, I think it's $73,200 for a total household income. We're working on that. As a matter of fact, we're trying to figure a way of being able to more than double that income for 65 years of age and older, and disabled folks to be able to apply for a rebate on their property taxes to ease the burden for those citizens. And it's the assessment of value is different. Everybody says, well, I want to limit my property taxes. Well, we vote on property taxes all the time. A 60% vote is required for millage rates and bond issues and sinking funds for all those cities and towns that use property taxes like a mortgage. So many towns can't afford to spend $300 million on a brand new building for their city, so they float a bond package, and it has to pass by 60% of the voters, and that's the way they can pay for projects that they can't afford to write a check for.
Right, and the citizens in that city or school district or wherever are the ones that eventually end up paying for it.
Yep.
Do they pay interest on that?
They do. The citizens don't. The bond package would be an interest rate, but it's based on the millage rate. So the millage rate would apply to all those properties that are part of that responsibility to pay off that. They voted for it and they will pay off that amount. In Oklahoma County, we have probably 600 or more different assessment districts where you could have a millage for a state college. You could have a millage for a technology center. You could have a millage for a school district. You could have a millage for a city obligation. You could have a millage for a judgment against a city. When something bad happens and the cities have to pick up the tab for that from a lawsuit, all those assessments are put onto the property owners to pay back.
Do we vote on whether to give the money for
on a judgment?
A judgment.
No, judgments are made by the courts. If someone has a car wreck because of some, you know, a responsibility that's somehow associated with a city or town, a police, fire, something like that, or if there's a terrible accident involving the police and someone there's a tragedy that happens to those individuals, the family can sue the cities for that. You've seen the wrongful death lawsuits that the jail
right.
sometimes has. The jail is one of those things where whenever they are arrested for things. Rarely is someone in the tip top of their health conditions, and sometimes there can be extenuating circumstances, but oftentimes the health of that individual can be a problem, and they may not have a long life to live because of their lifestyle.
And our county jail is exactly that, right?
Exactly.
A county jail.
For every one of the 19 cities and towns in Oklahoma County, that is the repository for those folks who are arrested and taken into jail.
So that's paid for by the county.
You bet it is.
Not the city.
More than half of the budget of Oklahoma County every year goes to fund the county jail and the sheriff's operations.
Whoa.
It's typical for most counties across the state of Oklahoma.
Okay.
It is a huge obligation. And in Oklahoma County, we, just like everything else, we've got the largest responsibility for assessment of value for property. We've got more property value, and we've got more people in our jail. We deliver more psychotropic drugs in our jail for people with mental illness than the state prison does. We have more people in our jail than the state prison does. We have more meals that are served on a licensed restaurant facility in our county jail than any other facility in the state.
Wow.
And we're the only county that does not have a sales tax for the operation and maintenance of the jail. Which, how are you going to fund it? We're funding it with cash every year. And it's a tough job to be able to get that done.
And that's typically done by sales tax, but not in Oklahoma County.
Oklahoma County is the only one that does not have a dedicated sales tax for the operation and maintenance of the jail.
Well, we have plenty of sales tax.
Not for the county. The cities and towns have that. And that's one of those things they talk about. The cities and towns they run on sales tax, and the county runs on property tax. Actually, the cities and towns in Oklahoma County get more sales or property taxes than the county gets to operate. We get less than 10 cents on every dollar. It would be hard-pressed to find a nonprofit that spends less than 10 cents on donuts and coffee.
Wow.
And that's what we do. We're extremely efficient, and I'm really proud of what we accomplished down at the county. We balance our budget every year, and we make every dollar squeak.
Well, and do a better job than any other county. I'll bet you I have searched tax records for every county in Oklahoma, because people say, well, I've got something out here in Love County, or I've got something out here in Adair County, and couldn't you sell it for me? And so before I refer it to a realtor close by that county or in the county, I always look up and see, well, what am I referring to them? Yeah. And there's just no comparison on the website of your county, Oklahoma County, our county, than there compared to other counties.
You know, Becky, when you talk like that,
yeah,
and you say things nice about the office that I run, I want to have your babies.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely passionate about the job, right?
I love it. I love it. It's great. It's a great team, and it happens because of the dedication of the other county officers to help support the funding that we need to be able to accomplish that task. It doesn't happen by chance.
Well, tell me a little bit about the numbers of Oklahoma County.
Well, we got 720 square miles. We've got around 330,000 parcels of property. It's worth $73 billion. That amount of value out of Oklahoma, the total value in Oklahoma is about $322 billion. So in Oklahoma County, just the 720 square miles we have out of the nearly 70,000 square miles of the state of Oklahoma, we have more than 22% of the entire state's ad valorem value.
I was over here looking up how many square miles is Oklahoma. Because I wasn't really sure that you would know that, and there you start spouting it off while I'm trying to look it up.
I wake up in the middle of the night in a thunderstorm, and I start spouting that stuff off.
I bet you do. The Oklahoma County Assessor's Office breaks down the value of each property. We're going to talk about how often you do that. How do you actually determine the value of a carport? And do you give value for a pool, that kind of thing, when we return right after this with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins. I am broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And today we've got Larry Stein, our Oklahoma County Assessor, in studio today.
NMLS number 196-895.
Hey, everybody. Now it's time for the hardest working man in the mortgage business, Mr. Dean Riddell. Can I give it up for Dean?
Good morning, guys. Becky, you got high expectations next week. You're going to have to top that.
Oh, well, Dean, we do count on you to keep us in kind of in check on the mortgage business. So I think I sent somebody to you this week, didn't I? To do a loan?
I think it was last week. Yeah, I was out of town, and I think Matt took care of him in our office. So
yeah. So, nice guy. I just don't want to meet him on the streets, if you know what I mean.
As long as he's on your side, you're all right.
Well, people from all walks of life.
Well, yeah, he happens to be an Oklahoma City police officer, so I'll meet him in his home, but I don't want to meet him on the streets. So.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So, Dean, what is the mortgage market doing today?
You know, Becky, it's rates continue to be a surprising factor to all. We probably ended the week in a 4 or 5 3/8 environment. I was looking at a chart earlier in the week, and I think first of the year, you know, there we were around 3.25, you know, 3 3/8, 3.5, and you've seen this trend, which is, it's been pretty quick. But 5%, as you know, is still a great number. We've got to get over that mindset of, I don't want to buy a home if rates are 5, 5.5%. Let's roll the clock back. Those are still great interest rates that, now's the time to buy if the inventory is there, if the house is there.
Well, but, you know, my advice to sellers, if you're thinking about selling, is buyers have less buying power when the interest rates go up. So get your house on the market now so that more buyers will be able to afford the house. Because there comes a point to where those things meet and property prices start coming down. Right. And so if you're ready to sell, it's a great time to do that. And there still is no inventory out there. I mean, I listed a house. We put two houses on the market yesterday. And I will tell you, we've got a lot of offers on homes because they didn't have any competition whatsoever. So
it's sad in some cases because you've got, you know, the FHA buyers, you know, they need that opportunity. And I've got, you know, 50 of them that are ready to buy a house, ready to go.
But you know, when you have a listing, you do not want to my job is to keep a business head on me, and if a seller wants to be sympathetic to an FHA or VA buyer, I'm all for it. Or I might show that government product buyer how to better their offer by paying their own closing cost, of course, but coming up with money above appraisal price.
That's typically the kicker right there. Do you have you heard what the Oklahoma Housing Finance Agency has their grant, down payment assistance bond program that you and I refer to? You know that's over 6% today.
Yeah, well, it's still free money coming for your down payment, though.
It is, but it's just mentally, you see that 6%, you say, I can't believe we're back here again, but here we are.
Hey, I'm gonna have to dig out my amortization book from when I started in 1977, because it has, it starts at like 7.25%. So
isn't that funny?
There's an app for that.
Yeah, I know, right? You know what? I need to get the app. I don't have the app for that. What I do have.
I think it's in your calculator, actually. Your advanced calculator. You turn the calculator sideways, and it gives you all those amortization numbers.
The calculation in my head. I think I've memorized all those factors. So, well, Dean, thank you very much. And if you want to contact someone who actually knows the mortgage products and knows where you might best fit in the mortgage market to save you money and to meet your personal goals, meet with Dean Riddell at SWBC Mortgage. And to call them, all you have to do is go to BeckyIvins.com and go to Becky's Favorites. You're going to find them listed right there. Thank you, Dean.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Okay. We are here with Larry Stein. And Larry, you were telling us that Oklahoma County collects about 10%
of every dollar. Less than 10% of every dollar that's collected goes to support Oklahoma County. We have an infamous dollar bill, and out of the entire property tax dollar, 58 cents goes to schools K-12, kindergarten through 12th grade, and then we have career techs and colleges that go to, they get 14 cents out of every dollar. And then the cities and towns get 9.28. Oklahoma County only gets 9.21 out of that dollar bill. And then you've got city, county libraries, city, county health department, and then tax increment financing districts, which are targeted economic development projects around the county. In fact, War Acres is just starting up four new TIF districts that will equal about 25% of their property, which in the county, in the city of War Acres, to be able to create economic development opportunities.
Well, they need it.
I know.
Right?
Everybody does.
Well, I know.
That's that sales tax generation. If they can generate sales tax from those economic opportunities, then they're going to be able to have a better quality of life by being able to provide the roads and the other infrastructure needs they have.
They do have a lot of economic development already. Yeah. I mean, think about all the eateries on Northwest Expressway. Yep. That's War Acres.
Yep, you bet.
But they lost that goose that laid the golden egg, the Walmart, some years back, and that provided a great deal of money for them.
It's interesting the differences when we talk about Walmart stores. One of the things we were working with the legislator, they were trying to figure out a way to be able to reassess the value of closed big box stores and then use that value to determine the value of a new big box store. And we said,
that doesn't work.
No, it's not going to work. Well, and the legislator that brought up the idea was, well, this is what I found out from a friend of mine who's in Kentucky. And we looked at all the statutes. We were saying, well, you know, if you want to change the law, we already have laws to be able to address this. We don't need to change our laws. The ad valorem system in Oklahoma may be very complicated, but it's also pretty accurate on what we do. And what they wanted to do is come and say, I've just built a new store, and you've appraised the value at $120 a square foot, but that old store that shuts down, that's only $20 a square foot. You need to say $20 for the new store. We're saying, no, that's not what we do. We assess value on its current use. And if the other building, they were talking about all the restrictions and covenants on the old store. You can't have another big box store move in. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do that. And he said, you need to evaluate all those things. And that's why I need to write this bill. I said, sir, we already evaluate those things. We don't need to write a new law. We got plenty of those.
Yeah.
We just need to start enforcing all of them.
Yeah. There you go. So what is the biggest challenge of your office?
The biggest challenge right now? An 1868 Supreme Court decision from the state of Iowa. It prohibits the municipalities and lower jurisdictions from being able to make law changes. We can't change laws. We only have to have the legislature change those laws. This 1868 decision from the judge, Chief Justice, I think his name was John Forrest Dillon. There was a lot of corruption going on in cities and towns back then. So they said, unless we give you specific authority to do it, you can't do it. We have amazing technology on change detection where we can measure. We've already measured houses dozens of times, and we can use our aerial images that are taken by airplanes, digital images, and we can see that there hasn't been any change from the last 10 years and last year to the current year. And we want to use that as a change to monitor the change and monitor the activity on the property. And the statute says we have to physically inspect. Physically, someone has to step foot. We want to add the technology of aerial images, very accurate images, and say that's an inspection too. And the legislature is talking about, well, we don't want you to use drones. I said, I'm not using drones.
Right. Well, I mean, you do use overhead images, aerial images.
Taken by airplanes that are extremely accurate. Drones are not accurate. I don't want a drone.
They're not steady enough.
Exactly. They don't give me the geographic referenced parcel that I need to be able to measure things. And the legislature is trying to put drones there. And I think what they're trying to do is if apparently realtors, rural realtors, have expressed concern about the assessor using drones. I don't get it. But I told him, I said, listen, I've got this technology. I need to use it because I can save about $5 million over the next 10 years using this. And if I don't, then I got to spend more taxpayers' money to hire people. And I don't want to do that. I want to save money.
Wow. Folks, we're going to be back with more right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, and I am saying good morning to all you folks. And do you know, Larry Stein's with me today, Oklahoma County Assessor. Larry, do you know that the temperature went from 31 degrees to 46 degrees during my drive here?
Wow.
I know. It's going to be a great day today.
Was your car on fire?
I know. No, but you would think so, right?
Gosh.
I was creating enough friction because I was traveling that fast.
Well, you know, if you like Oklahoma weather, right now, currently, because this cold snap we've had, this is actually seventh false winter, and then we'll have the eighth spring, false spring will be coming up again, and then we're going to have one more snap and maybe a big snowstorm. Before the end of April.
You never know, right?
And then we're going to actually have some. And then we're going to go from spring to fall in 32 minutes.
I know.
And then it's going to be 150 degrees. And everybody say, excuse me, well, where did I get? Did I miss spring? Because I want my money back.
Yeah. Okay. It is. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to do a small repair, check your roof for you for free, or do a whole roof system for you, and they'll even help you with the gutters and take care of the insurance. Robbins Roofing, give them a call. It's springtime, so you're going to want to have their number handy. Jot this down, 728-3700. Pretty easy number to remember. 728-3700. And our word today is oblique.
It can be oblique. And what it means is that you're looking at images from a 45 degree angle. All of the images that we have, geo-referenced ortho imagery and oblique imagery, it all helps us do our job better. Because if you're just looking at some of the aerial images, it's from the top.
Right.
And if you see a little box over there, you're saying, what is that? Is that a he shed, a she shed, or what is it at some, or is it a carport? Well, if you look at it at a 45 degree angle, the staff that we have can see whether it's a carport, and that's going to have a lot different value than a shed of the same size. So we can do a lot of our work using that technology right now.
All of our treasures are stacked in our sheds.
Yeah, and then we rent the other space,
right?
At a storage center too.
Right,
lots of space.
Sure. Yeah. So oblique imaging gives us more of a dimensional image.
Exactly, and it also helps for us because we may be looking at the outline of a roof, but if we look at an oblique, we can see that it's a porch. It's not livable space. And we want to make sure that we're as accurate as we can. And a porch isn't going to have the same value as a livable space of a property. So,
So how do you measure the square footage of a property?
When the property is being developed, we get permits. We'll find out what the size is, and then we will make a. We'll usually have our folks there during the process. Now, sometimes you'll have a property that will have a larger garage that, if we don't get in there before the house is finished, we may think that's livable space. But they may have a 2.5-car garage that takes some of the property out. We look at everything as being standard, that they'd have a regular garage. So if there is a discrepancy, though, if you're in the real estate business, our records are the official records on property in Oklahoma County. If there's a discrepancy, call us up. We'll be happy to send somebody over at an agreed time with your permission to get in there. And I know I was visiting with a realtor yesterday, and they said that there was a discrepancy between their property, and she kept on calling the real estate commission saying, what are you going to do to fix this? I've got three different appraisals with three different square footage. I said, you need to call us, because we're the ones that can put the official number on the foot, on the square footage. That's our job. And that doesn't cost anything. We want our records to be accurate.
Right. Well, the real estate commission, a lot of people get confused on this. The Oklahoma Real Estate Commission is there to oversee licenses,
yeah,
and to protect the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we have our real estate associations, and they're the ones who give us access to our multiple listing data, basically,
yeah,
and oversee the rules and regulations that they put in place to help the members sell houses. And then we've got the county assessors who actually help evaluate what is the assessed value of the properties. And then we've got the treasurer who collects taxes on your property.
Exactly. I sent out nearly 300,000 love letters this year explaining to people that their values of their property went up. And for the most part, everybody knows that that's what an investment in real estate does.
Right. We're hoping it goes up.
Exactly.
You want your taxes to stay the same.
If you have a 30-year mortgage, that inflationary index isn't going to happen in the 29th year. It's going to happen over time.
Right.
Because that's what the bank says. And it's true. And those values are going up. And we've had less than 300 people out of all of those letters that we sent out. Less than 300 people that came down to our office said, you got it wrong. So we're extremely happy with the amazing staff that does such a great job.
Well, Larry, pass out my card to those people and tell them this lady can sell your house. Right?
I'll tell you what. We couldn't do that. We could probably put your card in all that, on every one of those envelopes.
There you go. That's what we need. Right there.
I'll check with my district attorney's office, and I'll bet you they're going to say no.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we were talking about what kind of houses, what kind of value do you put on a double carport?
Not very much. I mean, you know, we're going to look at a building permit, and we have, it's Marshall and Swift is a national group that determines values for different things, square footage values on additions, and the state of Oklahoma requires that we measure all sorts of structures. If it may be a shed in the backyard, it may be a carport. The value, not very much, but the requirements of the tax commission, we're required to make sure that those structures are part of the parcel. In swimming pools, someone may have a $15,000 permit for a pool or less. You know, people either love pools or they hate pools. And if they want to buy a house, usually they don't want a pool. And if they're buying a used house that has a pool, then it doesn't matter to them. So the value of that from an appraisal value, it's really in the eye of the buyer. But if you have a pool that would make a Mexican resort city envious, then that probably would have, if you had a pool with you know, a swim up bar and a grotto and, you know, 500 gallon per minute pumps to make a waterfall, that's a lot more than just a regular, hey, I got a kidney shaped pool in the backyard. Do you want to go dip? That's there's a big difference in the value there.
Yeah. So to set those values, it doesn't matter what a buyer's willing to pay for that. It matters what
the formulas that we have, the technological numbers that we have on from our Marshall and Swift tables that give us a value so we can associate, so we can apply it fairly.
Right.
I mean, the real value in property in Oklahoma County or anywhere else is in the residential property. 55% of the property in Oklahoma County is residential, 22% commercial, and then the others farmland and other stuff. But when we're looking at the 55%, that's where the real value is in Oklahoma County, those residential properties. And the qualifications or the characteristics of how many bedrooms, how many square feet, how many bathrooms, you know, it's a formula. And that's the difference between real estate appraisal and ad valorem assessment. You know, we're looking at every house in a neighborhood. The realtor and putting them all in a bucket and saying, how much are these worth per square foot? And the square footage values are amazing compared to 10 years ago. In some of the areas where you wouldn't even want to buy a house, they're selling for $178 a square foot, which is phenomenal. But when we're looking at all of those houses in a bucket and trying to figure out a homogenous price for everyone, mass appraising, that's a whole lot different than what people do in the real estate business when they're out there looking at a fee appraisal and determining the value of just an individual house. And that's really the biggest difference between the ad valorem system and the real estate system.
You realize that I'm writing a continuing education class that you're a part of, right?
Awesome. I can't wait.
We're going to take the realtor and a seasoned realtor that knows what they're doing, and we're going to take to determine, well, what would a buyer pay for this property, right? Uh-huh. What is the comparative market analysis on this, the CMA? Then we're going to take Lee Caesar, who is a great appraiser.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to go through the system and go, well, this is what I think this is worth compared to other comparable sales. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to take the county assessor and go, well, how does the county assessor determine the value on this property? Uh-huh. And then we're going to take the insurance agent and go, because the insurance agent does it on replacement cost. So their value is almost always the highest, even though the buyers are catching up there and willing to pay the money for the properties.
You know, one of the things that we've done there was a lot of interest in school board elections this year. We're putting together a PowerPoint presentation to explain, because we know where the dollars go, but we don't drill down to show you how those dollars get to the school districts, the technology centers, and the state colleges. And that's one of the things where the school funding formula is known and understood by one half of one person, I think. It's a very complicated thing, and we're trying to make it more English-friendly and more citizen-friendly so they'll know where all those dollars go.
I'll tell you what, if you have not heard Larry Stein speak at a presentation where he kind of helps the audience understand more about what his office does and just the value of properties, you need to go, because he's, first of all, entertaining, as you can imagine, but very knowledgeable about Oklahoma County and passionate about getting it right. I love that part. Passionate about getting it right. We're going to return with our smoking hot deal right after this with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. Larry, what are the final things we want to tell folks about the assessor's office? Now, you're about to read something really boring.
No, I'm not. I'm about to just tell you that if you think that Oklahoma County is growing in the real estate prices and buildings and residences and everything's on fire, you're right. I mean, there's been more interest in Oklahoma and Oklahoma County in the last year than when they fired a shot and gave away land free.
Do you know something? I had the gentleman that owns Red Dirt Septic on not that long ago. And Do you know that about a third of the properties in Oklahoma County have septic systems?
Yeah. In the rural counties, that it's one of the, and it gets back to economic development. Those smaller cities don't have the money to bond to create a water treatment system. They also may not have the ability to have the sewage and lines and everything else installed. So when you get out of the metropolitan area, even in parts of Oklahoma City, they don't have water and sewage for some of those rural areas over in the eastern part of the county.
Well, a lot of them, frankly. Yeah. But you get acreage properties, and it's a long ways to run your infrastructure out there.
You bet.
So the municipalities really cannot afford to do that.
You got some acreage for sale, is that what they do?
Do you know something? I just sold 42 acres.
In Oklahoma County?
No, it was on the other side of the road.
Gotcha.
Other side of the road. It was on county line.
Okay.
But it was the other side of the road, and it was about a mile and a half or so from the turnpike, new turnpike.
Yeah.
Someone got a really good buy on that property.
Yeah. We got $1,829 million homes in Oklahoma County, and we're growing more every single year.
So about $2,000 million homes.
Uh-huh. And some of those are very modest homes. But that land value has really kicked up their value over the last few years.
I bet.
And it's an amazing growth pattern, and it continues to just setting records every year.
Well, and how about mobile homes?
Manufactured homes. We have more manufactured, just like everything else, we have more marijuana distributors, manufacturers, dispensaries. We have more manufactured homes. We have more of everything else in Oklahoma County. And that's why it's so important when legislators start writing laws, please call me so I can give you a reference of what's going to happen in Oklahoma County. Because if you're from Latimer County where they got 10,000 people, that's not going to give a good indication of what's going to happen when I've got 330,000 parcels and you're telling me you want to modify the way we do things in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Please help me. Help me. Help. Let me help you help you.
Okay. Election year for you.
Yes, it is. It's been a great ride. I love it. I love my job. I get to work with some of the best people in the county and in the office. We got a great group, and I'll be running.
Thank you. Oklahoma County Assessor Larry Stein. We'll see you here next week. Just tune in to 1000 KTOK for more of Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.